For a long while, the girl gazed down at Fosse, almost blankly. And in the candlelight, her face had the composure of someone perfectly at peace with herself. It took a few seconds, Rat said, to appreciate the full change. In part, it was her eyes, utterly flat and indifferent. There was no emotion in her stare, no sense of the person behind it. But the grotesque part, he said, was her jewelry. At the girl's throat was a necklace of human tongues, elongated and narrow, like pieces of blackened leather. The tongues were threaded along a length of copper wire, one overlapping the next, the tips curling upward as if caught in a final shrill syllable. Briefly, it seemed, the girl smiled at Mark Fosse. "There's no sense talking," she said. "I know what you think, but it's not bad." "Bad?" Fosse murmured. "It's not." In the shadows, there was laughter. One of the greenies sat up and lighted a cigar. The others lay silent. "You're in a place," Marianne said softly, "where you don't belong." She moved her hand in a gesture that encompassed not just the hooch, but everything around it. The entire war, the mountains, the mean little villages, the trails and trees and rivers and deep misted over valleys. "You just don't know," she said. "You hide in this little fortress, behind wire and sandbags, and you don't know what it's all about. Sometimes I want to eat this place, Vietnam. I want to swallow the whole country, the dirt, the death. I just want to eat it and have it there inside me. That's how I feel. It's like this appetite. I get scared sometimes, lots of times. But it's not bad, you know? I feel close to myself. When I'm out there at night, I feel close to my own body. I can feel my blood moving, my skin and my fingernails, everything. It's like I'm full of electricity and I'm glowing in the dark. I'm on fire almost. I'm burning away into nothing. But it doesn't matter because I know exactly who I am. You can't feel like that anywhere else." All this was said softly, as if to herself, her voice slow and impassive. She wasn't trying to persuade. For a few moments, she looked at Mark Fosse, who seemed to shrink away. Then she turned and moved back into the gloom. There was nothing to be done. Rat took Fosse's arm, helped him up, and led him outside. In the darkness, there was that weird tribal music which seemed to come from the earth itself, from the deep rainforest, and a woman's voice rising up in a language beyond translation. Mark Fosse stood rigid.
"Do something," he whispered. "I can't just let her go like that."
Rat listened for a time, and then shook his head. "Man, you must be deaf. She's already gone.